last week, we started talking about how do we live like this is good news, that this great message about Jesus is true, that it's adaptable, it's for everyone and anyone, doesn't matter your background, and that God's Spirit is going to help us live like it's good news. It's not just us pushing to do it ourselves, but we need to be relying on God. The question is, do we let that happen? Do you live like it's good news? Philippians 1:27 encourages us that no matter what happens, we should live our everyday lives in a way that's worthy of the good news of Christ. That's what we're asked to do. That's what we're called to do. Whatever happens, that your everyday life, that the way that you buy your groceries, that the way that you do your work, that the way that you interact with people, that should be a way that's worthy, that's showing, that's mirroring this good news about Jesus. So how do we do that? And today we're going to talk about that more. First off, what is this great message about Jesus? What is the good news? And I'll simply put it this way. God made us for a relationship with Him. God of the universe wants relationship with us. Then the problem was that we messed it all up and we went our own way. But then the good news becomes this. Jesus helps to restore that relationship. He has made a way for us to get back to see what God is really like. And then through Jesus to have that connection with God. Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Like going through Jesus is the way that we get back to that relationship, that we get to see the Father. And so today I want to talk about living like that, that we have an unashamed relationship with God. And that is a good thing. That is good news. That is great news. That's something that God's desire is. In 2 Corinthians 5, he tells us that our job as people of Christ, as people who follow Jesus, is this, that God has made us his ambassadors. As though he's making his message known through us to tell people, be reconciled to God. That's his big message he's given us, is that we go tell people, be reconciled to God. You were made to be with God. We found ways to run off and be rebellious. Be reconciled to God. Come back to God. Have relationship with God. That is our role. So to have an unashamed relationship, how do we do that? Or what does that look like? And today I'll share a little bit about my relationship with Christine and my relationship with other people, because the ways that we have relationships with each other can be a good picture for us to see what God is like. It's sort of like a shadow of the reality of what God really wants us to be. So the first thing I'd say is to be unashamed in time spent together. If you have a relationship, you're spending time together. If you think of a human relationship, especially if you think of one that's like a romantic relationship, it's really easy to start at those beginning feelings where you're kind of nervous and it's kind of exciting and you don't know exactly how to feel about it, but you really just want to spend time with this person. I have a friend recently that I was speaking to that is in this early stage of a relationship, but she's kind of long distance from the guy, and so I said, how's it going? And she said, yeah, we're talking. And I said, oh, about how much are you guys getting to talk together on the phone or on Skype? And she said, 2-3 hours a day? Is that too much? Is that a lot? Another mutual friend of ours said, oh, you know how it's going with us two? I think it's getting kind of serious. I mean, do you know how much they talk? I said, she told me it's about 2-3 hours. He said, yeah, it was more like 8 hours last night is how long they were talking. But I mean, that's, especially at the beginning of a relationship, like, you're excited to spend time and just to talk about everything and anything. It doesn't matter what it is. You're just so excited and you're beaming and you're glowing. Have you ever had that with Jesus? Where you are just excited to get to talk to him, where you spend time and you spend hours just getting to be together. And sometimes you don't even have to say anything. I remember early on when I'm getting to know Christine, my wife, that There was a moment I'd walked her home after we'd gone out for this long walk, and we're standing in a public place outside of the apartment complex of her parents, and it just gets to that moment where, like, we're going to say goodnight, so I go to give her a hug. And if you know the idea of, like, the five love languages and, like, are you a touch person or a time spent together or acts of service, all of that, I'm a touch person. Like, that's one way that I like to give and express love. And the people in this church who make sure every Sunday to come up and give me a hug, like, that's totally in line with, that's how I like to express that. So especially with this woman that I'm starting to really like and starting to fall in love with, so I go up to give Christine a hug. And I can't tell you the exact amount of time that this was, but it was probably a strong, like, at least 10 minutes that we're just standing there hugging. And we're not kissing. There's nothing sexual about it or anything. Just, like, just standing there in this hug, and you kind of don't want to, like, let go. It just feels so nice, and you're sort of talking, but you don't really know what to say to each other. It was natural, and I mean, it's that where it's unashamed time spent together. It's just, you don't even always have to say something, but just being together was so nice. Her mother did walk up to me in church the next morning and said, "So Christine walked in kind of late last night." I'm like, we were standing in public, nothing bad was happening. But have you had that kind of unashamed time? Often, one way that we just say how that happens is in prayer. Prayer is communication. It's talking with God. When you think about prayer, what are the words that come to your mind? Is it maybe going to be boring? Is it going to be tiring? Is it going to be hard? Is it going to be difficult? Or do you think of it like that unashamed relationship where it's joy? That's a word that we see connected with prayer so often in the Bible, over and over. God says, "I will give them joy in my house of prayer. I will fill them with joy in my presence." We're told to be joyful always and pray continually. Joy and prayer, they're meant to go hand in hand, just like that relationship. I've had times like that. I wish I would have more. Because relationship with God, that's good news. I hope that each person in this church will have an excitement about talking with God, about just spending time. Maybe not even them having to talk, but just sitting there and listening. Because it is good news. The opportunity to talk to God. Maybe for you, you've heard it since you were a child, and so it all just seems very normal. But I have known people who grew up in families that didn't talk about God, or maybe were from a different religious background, that didn't realize you can have this intimacy with God. And when they start finding out about it, it's like this mind-blowing experience. I can talk to God. It's just normal. I can speak to Him like I would talk to another person. I can use normal words that I understand. I can just talk to God, really? That's good news. Don't lose that. In Revelation, we're told that, like, the Spirit of God is speaking to John and sharing this message for several churches. And for one of the churches, he says, "This is the thing I hold against you. Like, you've forgotten your first love." He tells them later, "Remember how far you've fallen. Look back to that moment. And if you've had those times, remember that. And enjoy that. Cherish that time." But it's unrealistic to assume that every moment is always going to be butterflies for the rest of your life. It's not. Maybe for a few people it will, and if you have that butterfly moment every day, God bless you. I wish I had more of that. But for most of us, it is. And so I'm with Christine, and I still really enjoy hugging her, but it's not like every night there's this, like, long 12-minute hug before we go to bed. I mean, there is a natural progression of how relationships go. But just because our relationship has become more natural and we're more used to each other doesn't mean that I'm not still unashamed about my relationship. We're less giddy about how we used to be, but love isn't really about giddiness or about feelings or about attraction even. Love is a choice that we make for the better good of someone else, to put someone else in front of us, to be willing to be selfless, to sacrifice for the good of another. And we can continue to do that. For Jesus, he says, you want to know how you show love for me? Obey my commands. His first command is this: love like I loved you. So if you want to love him, you'll obey him. If you want to obey him, you love like he did. But those two things walk together so very often. And in his commands, it's things like being family, being a body, learning how to forgive one another, which is sort of the things that happen in a typical human relationship, that you walk through issues together and you learn how to be a benefit to each other and how to be a blessing to others. A natural part of my love with Christine is now we have a son, David. And so part of love is also, as the two of you together, having something else that you're doing together. That there's not just the love between us, but how do we continue to show love to others? And so with God, how does that work? Well, things like our discipleship groups that we've been having. Making disciples is sometimes like raising a kid. It can get kind of poopy. It can be difficult. And sometimes they're crying for you at moments when you'd rather be sleeping. But that's part of growing in our love for God, is learning how to work together with him as we help people grow in their faith, as we help people that start out like spiritual babies become spiritual adults and part of this family. So here are three quick advices on how to, if you need to, maybe jumpstart that unashamed relationship, or just how to have that unashamed time together. One thing is this: spend downtime together with Jesus. Downtime is this, like time where you're not busy, where you're not working. In my relationship with Christine, I notice a strong difference. If we've had a really busy week and never taken time to just sit down with each other and say, okay, push the other stuff away. This is just time for us to be together and not have anything we have to do. If we're just busy the whole time, you don't feel that connection. You don't feel that closeness. But when we'll take moments together and say, this is just time for us to be together, that makes a huge difference. It's a big, big help. Well, do you ever do that with God? That is the first thing I'd say. Try it out if you've never done it. Just spend some downtime with God. That's part of the idea of having a quiet time, sometimes people will call it. That in your day, you take time out to just sit down, to read the Bible, to pray, to just sit and listen if necessary. But spend some downtime with him. Be intentional about it. Keep talking with each other. And sometimes that does mean saying no to other opportunities. I'm the kind of person that loves to be able to run from here to there and do everything. And sometimes Christine just says, Matthew, how about you just stay at home tonight? Because I would really like to get to spend time with you. And so even if it's a really fun opportunity, maybe it's even a really good one. And in the future, I'm guessing there will be times where there's a mission trip available that I would love to go on. But sometimes you even have to say to no to good opportunities to spend some downtime together and keep that relationship intact and keep that strong. So with God, let's do that same thing. Philippians 4 through 6, we're told, be joyful always and don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer, with petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Get time to not be anxious. Sky was one of the women in this church that went on this trip, and I think she's over with the children today, so she couldn't stand up here and say what it was about this trip that she really enjoyed. But as we were driving back in the car, one thing that she said just really struck me, that she said, on this trip, like, I want to pray more. Coming back, one of the things that she wants to take, I want to pray more, even in my free time, to do something worthwhile instead of anxiously worrying. For people who worry, I mean, you know how much time can just be taken up by just worrying and worrying and worrying and not really doing anything worthwhile. Here's something worthwhile. Sort of do nothing with Jesus. Spend some downtime. Second thing would be to stop and cherish memories, to look back over things. The moments where I sit down and go through the photos on my computer and look back at some of those early days of my relationship with Christine, it reminds me of why I love her. It reminds me of the joy that we get to have together. With God, do you ever just stop to look back and cherish the memories that you've had? For me, sometimes that's singing a song that we used to do in church 20 years ago that I haven't heard in a long time, but when I sing it, it brings back some of those memories of that time with God. Or sometimes it's looking at things that I wrote down in a journal, or Bible verses that I talked with people about, or Sunday school classes that I led among kids, and to look back at those memories and remember, this is what God was speaking to me then. It's a special moment. The third one I would say is learn new things about God, which probably means spend time doing new things. Get into new situations together. And that's part of why I love going on mission trips, especially to places I've never been before, because then that gives me the opportunity to see God work in a way differently than I'm used to in my day-in, day-out routine. To go somewhere and say, show me more about who you are. With Christine, sometimes we do that. I'm like, oh, let's go somewhere differently just so that I get to learn something different about her. Having a child has helped me learn new things about Christine I didn't know before because we have this work that we're doing together, or getting to lead a Bible study together that we've never done before brings up conversations that we haven't had. Do something new with Jesus. Sometimes it's easy to just get in your rut of, this is how I do my thing, and this is where I go, and this is the time I spend with Jesus, and then this is my regular life. Break out of your routine every now and again. So this has been the first part. Be unashamed of time spent together. Because honestly, in churches, sometimes we almost make excuses for prayer. Or we feel like we have to work ourselves up for prayer. Like, we understand why the prayer meetings are smaller than all the other ones because prayer can be less exciting. No! Prayer is meant to be joyful. And if you don't find prayer interesting, this may sound harsh, if you don't find prayer interesting, I don't know, like, you don't live like this is really good news. That relationship with God is good news. And I'm not wanting to be legalistic with it, but, I mean, maybe you never really understood the good news if you don't think that it's interesting to spend time in a relationship talking to the God of the universe. If you don't find it interesting to spend time talking with the one who lived a perfect life and died for you, that should be something that's packing out this place. To just spend time in prayer should be the thing that most people want to come to, because that's a moment where it's not hearing from me, it's not just singing some music, it's getting to have a relationship with God, and that is good news. So the first one was about being unashamed and time spent together. But that leads naturally to something else. In an unashamed relationship, you're unashamed in talking about the one that you love. It becomes just natural. In Romans chapter 1, Paul talks about this and he says, I really wanted to visit you. I really wanted to share time with you because I am not ashamed of the good news. I'm not ashamed of what he's done. You can think about it to yourself. How often do you spend time talking with other Christians about your relationship with Jesus? My guess is most of us would say it's not as much as maybe it should be. Why? Why, even among Christians, do we sometimes act like we're ashamed of having this relationship with God? I don't get it. I don't understand myself in that sometimes. I feel like that's good company. I mean, Paul even in Romans wrote about that. Like, I don't get why I do what I do and don't do what I should do at times. So the first thing I'd say is make it normal first just to be talking with other Christians about your relationship. Some people get really nervous. Oh, how do I talk to my friends who don't know Jesus, well, make it really natural to talk to your friends who do know Jesus, and then let it grow out from that. Because there becomes the obvious effect of time spent together. The things that you spend your time with, the things that you love, become the things that just show naturally and become the things that you talk about. So if in having this unashamed time with God just means spend some downtime together, that's going to be obvious and it comes out. For most of the people who are on the trip to Mama with us, I mean, you could probably ask them, does Matthew like watching movies? We didn't watch a single movie while we were there. But they'd probably say yes because of all the movie references I was just making, just naturally. It was coming out. But there can be this natural effect. If you start seeing me having larger muscles, you don't have to be with me working out to realize he's probably working out. And the same, that we are changed just naturally. And sometimes people don't know exactly what it is we're doing or why we're doing it, but the more time that you just spend downtime with Jesus, the more that will show just naturally. The second thing that I said in unashamed time with is cherishing those memories from the past. Well, then in unashamed talking about it is you talk about those cherished memories of people. At times, I intentionally talk about Christine to the people I'm around. Because I want to have that just a natural thing that I do. And because I want people to know how meaningful that she is to me. And because it helps also protect me in a way. Growing up, it was very natural for me to be able to talk to men, to talk to women. Wasn't a deal. I could make friends with both of them really, really quickly. And I enjoy getting to talk with both. Well, then I get married and it's that question like, how should that affect my relationship? Should I not talk to women at all? Or do I have to be really careful how I do all of this? And so sometimes I'm just intentional that if I'm talking with a woman, here's one of those easy things to do. Like start talking about the love story you have with your wife because women seem to love hearing that. But it shows very clearly that I'm taken by someone that I love very much. And I get to tell those stories about Christine. And there can be that question like, well, what if they don't want to be friends with me? If all I'm doing is ever talking about my wife or all I'm doing is ever talking about my son, like won't people just be annoyed by that? Well, if they are, so what? That's part of my life and I want to be who I truly am. A survey. How many of you in this room have heard some part, not just from a sermon, but have heard some part of Christine and my story? Okay, that's a good one. The rest of you, I'll hopefully add to that number because I love getting to tell that story. Here's the second one though. How many of you have heard about my story with Jesus? Because I want that to be just as natural as me being able to talk about the love of my life that's a woman, to be able to talk about the love of the universe who cares about me, who is God. Maybe ask that question of yourself. Do people know your story? This is a really easy way to start it. Is in church to say, can I tell you my story about how I met Jesus? And if you ask that to probably anyone in this room and they say no to you, no, I don't want to hear your story. Come up and talk to me about it and I'll have a talking with them. Like, I'll do that. But most likely they'll say yes. Some of them might say, can you give me the 2-minute version, not the 2-hour version? I mean, Be understanding of their time and the moment, but it can be easy and so joyful to get to share those stories. And then the third thing I would say is an easy way to talk about God is share about those experiences, those new experiences that you're getting to have together. For those who went on this trip to Sweden, like it should be pretty easy to get to talk about like, oh, this is a part of my life. Here was the time that I spent. Here's what we did. And God will naturally be a part of it. Because you're doing something together. A different example of someone in our church, Harriet Murray. Her and her husband have been going to South Africa a couple times to be able to do trips where they share about Jesus, but also help with feeding programs and do some of those things. And she said at work, eventually they just started asking, so why do you keep going to South Africa? Why are you doing this? And because they approached her, it made it very easy to just share, well, because the love of Christ compels me to go show love to other people. At your work, probably you talk about, oh, what'd you do over the weekend? Oh, I went to this game, or those types of conversations. It becomes very natural to talk about people you spend time with, especially if you're doing something new. Oh, yeah, for the first time ever, we went to watch a play in the theater on the Friedhof or whatever. Have those new special moments with God and then tell other people about them. Because if you have that genuine excitement, it's, what can they say? Well, that's my story. Sometimes it's hard to talk about a relationship because you don't have much of one. And that might be an honest question you could ask about yourself. Is it hard for you to talk about Jesus because you're just not really interacting much? Because there's not a lot of communication and relationship going on. With Christine, I tell other people about decisions that we make. I talk about places that we go. I talk about raising our son. I talk about differences that we have in our cultures. I talk about what her family members are like and how that's different from what my family is like. I talk about difficulties that we face together. I talk about nice things that she does for me. I talk about conversations we've had. And all those things can be applied to the way that we talk about Jesus. Places that we went together, conversations that we've had. Sometimes when I'm praying, and then that's something that I get to talk with other people about later. Sometimes I get to talk about how weird God's family seems to me. It's all of you and around the world. But those are natural things to get to share about. So use those as opportunities to be unashamed in talking about Jesus. As Peter and the apostles said in Acts chapter 4, we can't help but talk about the things that we've seen and heard. We can't help but talk about what's been a part of our lives. And at that time, they had people in authority saying, stop talking, you can't talk about this. And they said, you judge whether it's right for us to listen to God or to listen to you, but I don't have the option here. I have to talk about it. It's just naturally coming out because of that relationship. So how do we live like it's good news? We spend time talking to God in relationship, and we spend time talking about our relationship with God. As Philippians 1:27 said, and this is kind of a verse that I want to keep hitting through this time, above all, live as citizens who reflect the good news about Christ. May your life reflect that in what you do in your downtime, in the memories that you cherish, in the new things that you're excited to get to go do. May it reflect the good news in how you talk about that relationship with other people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you started humanity by saying that you wanted to make us in your own image, to show a bit of who you are. And I pray that we would live that out today, that your image would be upon us, that your image would be shown through us because we're spending time in relationship together. Thank you that we can love you because you first loved us, because you showed that love by sending Jesus, even while we were still rebellious. You sent Jesus to show us the way back and be reconciled to you. Thank you. And I love you. In Jesus' name, amen.